Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you.
Went to a beautiful engagement party over the weekend.
Did you?
The parents of the bride, Laura and Bill Henney, are dear friends of mine. Known them for a long time. Some of the sweetest people and just good people. And they're having it at their house. Beautiful house. And the pool and the whole deal.
Cool.
And they've been prepping for months. Like every time we talk to them, yep, getting the yard ready. Yep, getting the yard ready.
Getting the pool ready.
Getting this ready. I'm building this.
Right.
I'm building that.
Take care of this.
I'm putting in the countertop with the cement countertop and the cabinets and the outdoor kitchen. And
more prep than the Olympics.
Bill made a freaking table that right. Looks like it should be in a catalog.
Really?
Nice.
I'm like, where'd you get that? I built it. I'm like, yeah, you suck.
Damn.
Wow.
It's one of those guys, you know?
Yeah.
I think Bill was doing most of the prep and Laura was like pointing.
Hey. Supervising.
Overseeing.
Well, how about if we plant some stuff over here?
Overseeing, yeah.
Okay.
Right, because God forbid there be one spot where somebody's planted.
Honeydew list.
You know, maybe we'll bring in some palm trees over here.
Gotta get some palm trees now.
Can you build a table that looks like it should be in a catalog?
Yeah, build a table now.
Anyway, they get all this. The yard is beautiful. Looks like it should be in a catalog.
Put you in a catalog.
gonna hit you with this catalog. I get there at 2 o'clock. Starts right at 2 o'clock. Rain.
Wow.
Ready to.
The uninvited guest.
The rain didn't start at 1:59.
Mm-mm.
It started at 2, like it was invited.
It was prompt.
I'm here.
The RSVP.
It's like, I heard it starts at 2.
I know. It's a parade. I'm a rain.
I'm like, are you kidding me? They have a band outside. Oh. One of her sons is in River Jack, if you ever get a chance to see him. They play over at McHugh's place a lot.
Okay.
What's that called? Hawk Ridge?
Yep, winery.
In Watertown. Yep. I don't care if you're in Stanford or Hartford. It's worth the ride.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, great band, River Jack. They have all their gear out.
No!
One guy, Frank, handmade a guitar. He retired from Sikorsky. He's got some skills.
Uh-huh.
He made a hollow body guitar.
Wow.
Damn!
Which, so that's on stage
should not
with
get
all
wet.
Of their gear.
Right.
And now it's like, whew!
Right.
So we're rushing around. Grabbing tarps.
His guitar is swollen.
Yeah.
It's full of water.
It's not hollow anymore.
He's playing with a bass. Boom, 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 boom.
Hey, is that a goldfish swimming by? Inside? That's a nice fish tank you made, Frank.
Why are you holding a boat?
Yeah. Crazy. So all of this is happening, and I'm getting soaked. Jennifer's in the barn. Beautiful barn. And I walk by the door. She goes, do you have an umbrella in your car? I'm like, you're kidding. She watched me. All this is happening. She's like, my hair.
Right.
My hair.
Right, your umbrella?
Like, first of all, look around at the women here.
Right.
Like, no one cares about their hair.
No.
Okay?
Right.
And then, look at me!
Right.
Doesn't matter if you get wet.
All right. I'm already done. Right. Like, I'm done. I'm soaked. My shirt's soaked. My shoes are soaked. I was trying to help, you know?
Yeah.
And then during the course of the storm, you know, your phone could be your friend or it could be your enemy.
Uh-oh.
And I look at my phone and I'm like, well, let me check the weather. And I checked local. I always check two or three. It's like a doctor's opinion. You want to see if everyone's on the same page.
Oh, there are different models now.
Yeah.
See which one's the more popular method, yes.
All of them said, and I fell into this stupid thing forgetting that they're going to try to make it more than it is to get you to be excited
of course.
You pay attention.
Right.
And I look and it says, we're in a severe thunderstorm watch till 11. Now it's 2:10.
Hours to go.
Right. And high winds are expected.
Oh.
Now, these guys with the band, they're under a tent. I'm like, I don't want to be the one who gives them bad news, but I should tell them this. So I go up to Eric in Riverjack, and I say, yeah, this looks bad, man. You know. And John Gee and Bill, put up the tent, and they didn't put like big stick. Like this tent isn't going to get through a windstorm.
Right. No. So then Bill made an anvil.
It's going to become a kite.
So Bill made an anvil.
Yeah, Bill made.
That should be in a catalog.
Right.
That anvil kept it down.
That's right.
Bill, we need an anvil. Okay. Ding, ding, ding.
Hang on, let me fire up the iron ore melter.
Well, he is that friggin' guy, too.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm picturing him just in a chair, just drinking straight from a wine bottle. Yeah. So, yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Now, he doesn't drink anymore.
Oh, okay.
He did enough in his early days.
Got
it. He covered that for a lifetime.
Still
however, I'll bet you he was thinking, you know what would be nice right now? A drink.
You know.
Lots of them.
Right. I think I'll have 100 drinks.
The meanest swill you got.
Oh, that would have been funny. Look around. Anyone see Bill? No.
He's in a wheelbarrow.
But, you know, the guests, no one cared.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was like, this is great.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's
right.
A great
we're all
day.
Here. We're under this tent. We're under that tent. We're in this barn. We're over here. It's fine. We're all good.
It's a pool party.
Yeah. It really was. And I thought, well, I was going to jump in the pool anyway. And now it looks like I did. And I'm fine.
Perfect.
Right. You know?
Right.
How about that? I was going to get wet anyway. So
exactly right.
Nature did it for me.
Rain.
Yeah.
You
so
didn't get me.
I make it back down to the barn, and Jennifer says, it's a good time until someone loses an eyeball.
Thank you. They sound like clapping.
I'm like, oh.
I'm like, random sayings?
You know, it took me a second. I'm like, wait, am I going to lose an eyeball because I didn't get her an umbrella?
Right.
She's going to open it, and it's going to poke you right in the eye.
Right.
You know, those sides can't be dangerous.
Right. Were you struck by lightning when I was away?
The little spokes.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about? What were you talking about?
Well, Laura said to me they had a lot of booze there, and there was a large a tub that was filled with ice and bottles of Prosecco. And she said, oh, why don't you go...
Which is champagne. It's just not from Champagne, France.
Right.
Italy.
Right.
Right. So I said, sure. She goes, be the first one to open one up. I said, okay. So I take the foil off. I unscrew the wire cage. And I pull the wire cage off. And then I was just kind of starting to position it so I could pop the cork away from anyone near me.
Oh, always pull it.
The cork popped.
Oh yeah,
without me even
touching
it.
Wait, what's this? Phil has information.
Yeah, no, the popping, like that's a movie thing. You put it right in the palm of your hand, you pull it out, so it doesn't do that.
No, you're supposed to shake it.
No,
and then
shake
it.
Face it away from you and have it explode.
But you take the wire thing off.
Put in your
mouth.
When you take the wire thing off, you have to have it pointing in another direction.
Yes, you do.
Not underneath the bridge of your nose.
Exactly.
Right. But that sucker's gonna go off.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So whenever I've opened a bottle, Phil, stop. So when I took the wire cage off, I'm just going to maneuver my hand to pop the cork, and it popped without me touching it.
Wow.
And guys, I'm telling you, I felt a breeze right by the front of my forehead. It just missed my face.
Those things come out with power. If it hits you right in the eye, you're going out.
They do. Yeah.
Good night.
Right.
It would have been a better story if it hit you.
No, actually, it would not have been. The party just started.
Right, so I go through life with a one-eyed wife.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, that's a much better story.
How did you lose your eye?
Yeah, no idea.
Prosecco.
Oh, that'd be trouble for me for weeks.
You no idea.
Cops would be at the door.
Right.
Talk to you about your wife.
No idea.
Yeah, no idea.
There's no R.
She is my dear.
Right.
She's
the
one-eyed deer.
My no idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you survived.
They should put a warning
label
on there. Premature popping.
But just as we saw Rachel, who the engagement party was for, we said, small talk. How you doing? You look beautiful. She said, my dog is lost. I'm like, what? They just got this little dog. What kind of dog was it? It's like a part this and part that, whatever. But it's like I think still in the puppy stage.
It ran because of her cord popping.
It was in the house. Now, keep in mind, these... It was hit by a cork, and it took off like a horse.
I'm getting out of here.
There's a dog running down Route 8.
This is a Seinfeld episode.
Goodbye forever.
Champagne bottle.
Oh, no.
And we lost the dog. And
Jerry, we lost the dog.
It was a whole thing.
Right. The dog ran through the horse pen, and the horses got excited, and they jumped the fence and ran into the pool and knocked the band over.
Right.
just because Jennifer doesn't know how to open a bottle of Prosecco.
It was a ricochet, they said.
Anyway, so...
I'm glad it didn't hit you.
Dog's missing, right?
Dog is missing. So these caterers, by the way, this beautiful house is built into, like, the side of a mountain. Like, you know, not a mountain, but, you know.
Hill.
And so they're going from the kitchen down to the pool, then down to the barn. Tray in one hand, umbrella over the other.
Oh, wow.
And the umbrella was covering the food, not them.
Nice.
They were troopers.
Wow.
So they were going in and out of the house, and the dog made it out of the house during one of those trips.
Umbrella and a tray, yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, it runs into the woods.
Oh.
And this is not a dog that's like, oh, I've been to this property before, and I know what's going on. It was into the woods, gone.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Looking for a cork.
I'll get it. Get the cork. He's really great at fetch.
Get the cork. Get the cork.
Right. Corky.
Gotta get the cork. Gotta get the cork.
Cork.
So we're all like, oh, boy, you know, that's the woods. That's the deep woods, you know.
So all the men folk got
their
torches.
Things. There's a lot of hungry things out there if we don't find this dog by nightfall.
Yeah.
So we're talking, and I think I'm going to go out there. Well, Drew, the guy who's engaged to Rachel, he's out there looking. And then we get news before, you know, we gather up the search party and all go out.
Get the torches lit.
The dog has been found.
Yay!
Whee!
So later, I'm over at the ice cream emergency truck.
I love that truck.
It's a great truck.
I love
it. It's
that
a great freaking truck. They love the show.
I love that truck.
Yes. And somebody arrived at the party and said, why is there an ambulance in the driveway?
That would have been
because we need ice cream.
Yeah. We had
somebody
an emergency.
Hurt?
It turns, so I said to Drew, like, wow, good job finding the dog. And he says, actually, I gave up. And I walked over to the biggest tree, and I asked it to help me.
So you've been smoking?
Tree?
By the way, Rachel and Drew own a very successful edibles company in Vermont.
There you go.
Okay, so
right.
I'm like, oh, okay.
You're talking to trees.
So you
like Mother Nature?
But you asked the universe to help you. So now you could do that through prayer or
trees.
Edibles?
You know, please. Like there's that saint whatever. You say a prayer right. When you can't find something. And then there's trees. I didn't know. So to me, the information was I never knew.
Right.
You could ask the tree.
Right.
Sounds like a scene from Avatar.
You have to eat two colorful bears first.
But it worked.
Hey.
He asked the tree for help. Here comes the dog. Boom, 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 boom. Out of the woods.
You rang?
A tree told me you were looking for me.
Okay. In that case.
It's amazing.
I'm going to call that tree 6 lottery numbers.
So when we find you in the parking lot talking to the trees, we're going to know why.
Right, AJ.
Make it happen. Yep.
Yeah. So happy ending, and that was a great one.
Yay, dog.
Great day. Good. You ever follow that Instagram site, OSHA, Is This Okay?
On occasion, I've seen things, yes.
Okay.
There's been some interesting things there.
Yeah. They're usually in other countries.
Yep.
Where we don't have OSHA regulations or things of that nature.
Right.
You see people do the wildest things. So let's go to Russia now, where clearly they don't have a version of OSHA over there.
No, they're not. Nope.
Yeah. They put this giant metal swing on the edge of a 6,300-foot canyon, and it has a bench on it, so you could fit two or maybe another person.
Like a porch swing, only different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
A porch swing,
yep.
Only it's instead of a porch,
you're
it's
chasm.
On a 6,300-foot canyon.
Oh, boy.
It's right on the edge of the friggin' canyon.
Right, and what's holding the frame down is what I want to know.
Nothing. Nothing. What you see in this video,
right.
That they're not cemented down. So my dad, after a while, learned that he has three boys and he needs to cement the legs of the swing set in.
Right.
Because swinging on a swing is good for about 5 minutes. Then it's, now can we launch our brothers into space.
Right. To the moon!
Exactly.
To the moon we go.
Right.
And he saw the legs are coming out of the ground. He's like, get off that swing.
Right.
Down to the hardware, bags of cement. Okay, right. There you go.
Come back tomorrow.
That was actually for the kids, but
get your cement and come back and see me.
Get your cement, come back and see me.
Right.
So the legs of this were not cemented in.
No.
And there's two women on this swing, and this guy's pushing like he's trying to send them to the other side of the canyon.
Exactly.
He wants to give them a ride for their life, and they got the ride.
Yes, they did.
They got it. It was the push where you could see he didn't push it straight on.
No.
He pushes it,
cock-eyed.
And it starts going sideways.
There's a little wobble.
It got cockeyed.
Like
yep.
This, I don't know how these legs are going to like
that
this.
Some things go wrong.
I also didn't think the weight was balanced in the seat. Like, they weren't evened out. Like, even if you've been on a ski lift before, you know, and you're sitting in the chair and you're going up, like, you got to balance that chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we're coming in, like, we all have our feet on the ground here.
The one consistent thing with all of this is there was no thinking all the way through.
Yeah. Nope.
Right. When they put with the location of the swing.
This was free form.
No cementing of the swing.
Right.
Even the frame was pretty thin.
The frame looked like could be something you find in someone's backyard.
But they painted it pretty blue.
They painted it blue to make it look industrial and professional.
It looked nice.
Yeah. And they put these two women on, and they're pushing. This dude's pushing as hard as he can, and let's hear what happens. Wow, this is
crazy music.
Those are the pushes.
Right.
Yeah.
We didn't get to the incident yet.
Yeah.
Yay. More pushing.
This is fun.
And footage cuts.
Yep.
They put down the camera and ran to see if they were alive.
That's exactly what happened.
Yep.
So the swing starts going sideways, balances off.
Tension's off.
Pulls the leg up out of the thing.
Yep.
Rope breaks.
Yep. Poof,
they go off the side.
The last you see is them flying through the air and then disappear.
Yeah.
Like Thelma and Louise minus a T-Bird.
It's exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly what it looks like.
They didn't hold hands.
And no freeze frame.
Right?
No.
No. They could have used one. Yep. Gravity works in Russia. Okay.
Thankfully, there was a platform below that they landed on.
Right. Some poor tourists were taking pictures and two ladies landed on them.
Man.
Oh.
Not recommended.
You ever hurt yourself on a swing?
Yes.
Why did I know you were going to be the first?
I mean, everybody's hurt themselves on a swing.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
You ever try and make it to the pool from the swing set?
Oh, you were doing that.
Yep. Yep. Didn't make it.
No.
Did you know the side of a pool is very hard?
So a real pool.
Right. Yep.
In ground.
No, but
no above ground.
Above ground.
Above ground, but a real pool, not the plastic kiddie pool.
Got it. Got it.
The real kind.
So I've tried the plastic kiddie pool because you could move it to where, okay, this is how far I go out.
Yeah.
Mark this X here, move the pool, fill the pool with water, and here we go.
Yep. When you create waves in the pool, it explains how hard you hit it.
What I found from my experiment is there's not enough water in a kiddie pool to soften the landing.
No, you tried, though.
It really doesn't soften the landing.
No.
It's just as hard as if there's no pool there.
But a hell of a splash.
Or no water.
Right.
Yeah. No matter how flat you land.
Is there any more water left in the pool after you landed?
That's one of those you're walking around like you're trying to act like you're okay.
Yep.
But your hands on your ass and you're walking like a penguin.
Like you're thrusting forward each time. Yep.
I think my ass is closed forever.
Oh, my God. I found that pool toy. I don't think you want it back.
Hold on. Let me hold my nose and push real hard.
In 8 hours, I'll get it back for you.
Oh, there's the pool toy.
Right. I'll get it back in 8 hours.
Didn't you have something where your mommy was telling you to get back on the swing set?
Yeah.
Get back on the monkey bars.
Yeah, the monkey bars. Yeah. These two bullies told me it was their monkey bars and I couldn't get on there. And then I just saw this cloud of dust and this little Puerto Rican lady running towards me with her fist and saying, Alfred, I'm going to get back on those bars. Get back on those bars.
Get back on those monkey bars.
Right, which was wonderful. She did that, but I heard them repeat her for like 3 more years after that.
Wow,
in
did you
school.
Hit your head?
Alfred, get the bars.
Them repeat that. So that was it. You were kids in school.
Yep.
You'd be walking down the hall. Alfred, get back on those monkey bars.
Yep.
At least you could do the monkey bars. I couldn't ever do them.
What was so hard about it?
Yeah, you just grab them and climb.
You can't. I couldn't.
Can't.
I couldn't support my own weight.
Can't.
I got no upper body strength. I would just like dangle for a moment and fall.
No, is it the monkey bars that looked like a dome?
Yeah,
sometimes.
Like a ball, or was it the monkey bars that went across? It was like a ladder.
I'm talking about the ladder kind.
The ladder was fun.
I ran across the tops of those. I was like, climb them. Yeah. I'm running across these.
Yeah. Guessing you fell a few times.
Yes,
too,
I did.
Yes.
That's the thing. That would be a fun video. Just set something up in the middle of where kids are.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and just see how many different ways they can figure out how to hurt themselves.
Everything was steel. Everything, including the slide, which got to about 250 degrees in August.
Yeah, it was steel and cement.
Yep.
By the way, AJ got the last laugh about the monkey bars because now he's got his own monkey cage.
That's right.
He doesn't have to share with anyone anymore.
That. Get now back in that monkey cage. Alfred.
Yep. Yep.
The most dangerous part of the swings is not necessarily on the swings themselves. It's behind the swings when someone else is swinging.
Yeah, if you don't,
you're not watching where you're going.
Don't pay attention. Yep.
Yeah.
Get someone's ass on the side of your head. Thunk. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Picture Kid Ashley. Oh, a butterfly.
Well, we
just bangs flying through the air.
we played those games where you're swinging and someone's back there pushing.
Oh, yeah.
And then the kids out in front are running by just in time. And
you're
playing chicken. You're waiting like, okay, I'm going to be the last. I'm going to jump right when it's about to hit me.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Dangerous jump rope game, basically.
We didn't play that.
You ever have the kids that not only knew how to jump off the swing, but they could do the backflip?
I can never do that either.
No, see kids do that. I'm like, man, you're lucky you're not just a freaking plant in a wheelchair that has to be watered.
So you'd hold on to like the chains on the swing, and you'd lay flat with your feet straight out. Yeah. And as you come through, your feet go up in the air, and then you just flip over, and you land on your feet, and the swing goes behind you. And I'm like, that is so cool. I'm going to learn how to do that. So I had a kid showing me like how you have to hold, and the chain didn't have that plastic gripping. So as I'm holding it so tight because I'm terrified, and I lost skin on the inside of both hands because the chain like grabs you and then
pinches
like,
it.
Ah, that was the worst.
You know what was hilarious?
Did you pull the trick off?
No, I never tried again after that. Like, you know what? Not worth it. I'd like to keep my hands.
Yeah.
We had one incident where the chain broke, but the chain broke not as the person was going forward, as they were going backwards. And you just saw the kid just disappear.
Buried in wood chips.
Two chains just going backwards.
Both chains broke simultaneously.
Yeah. Like, I guess the eye hooks, whatever.
Ah, that's weird.
Failed. And the thing just went backwards.
See ya. Yeah, that was the other thing. And then you're going so high on the swing. You're thinking, I could actually circle this thing.
Yeah.
Like orbiting the Earth.
You want to try to, yes.
That was the goal.
Yeah. Yep.
Jeez.
Yep, we earned those scars.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, they both lived.
They did.
These women on the swing in Russia. Man.
Hell of a ride.
Terrifying.
Yep.
Terrifying.
Plus the camera angle, you see them disappear.
There used to be a rope, millions of rope swings. Whatever happened to the rope swings near the rivers and the lakes?
You find them like Vermont, place where it's safe.
It's you won't break your neck in Vermont.
No, you'll just like get bit by a bass or something.
I'd go with my brother to these. There was one in Monroe, and it was really... It's like a cliff with all these roots of trees coming out. And, you know, you can tell trees just fell into the
and just
ripped this thing open.
Yeah.
And so now there's this little like, just this opening. And they were like, hey, you know what? And a tree guy had to get this rope up into the tree. It was so friggin' high up. Like a normal human did not put that rope up there.
Well, it's really high, yes.
Yeah, and there's this knot in the rope, and that's where you put your crotch to hold on so you can get out to the water.
Yeah.
And now there's so much dirt, rocks, roots, old stumps from trees that fell.
Oh, yeah, if you short it, man.
You got to get all the way out there.
That's not one injury.
You
got to
get all the way out there.
That was a branch in your ass.
On the bottom, so someone thought, oh, you know what we need? Not a knot. We need to put a loop so you could put your foot in the loop
right,
and go out, it'll be easier. Because right. the knot, if you're wet, you'll slip right over the knot.
Yep.
Right.
Right? So it's like,
goodbye ankles.
Yeah. The loop. That's great.
Perfect.
So they tie the loop, and people are doing it, and it's great. It's working just great.
Everyone's having a good time.
Then there's always the one guy who, you know.
I'm going to put my head in the loop.
Yeah. Close.
Yeah, they called him Stretch.
He goes out. His shorts are wet, so water's dripping down his leg.
Yeah.
Right, which leads to his foot.
You sure
which
it's
leads
water?
To the. Which leads to the loop.
Right.
He goes out, and just as he's at the spot where he's going to let go, his foot slides into the loop.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And now the loop is up to, like, his knee.
Right.
And problem. He starts swinging in.
Bing.
So first his head comes in the water.
Did he have a fish in his mouth?
And then that would have been a nice trick.
Kind of
clunks a log.
Oh,
and then,
no.
You know, now his hand, his the free leg
he's
and the two arms
man.
Are
flailing.
But he keeps going underwater. Now he's slowing down. But, you know, so he must hear water and then just laughter.
Right.
Because we're dying.
Right.
And then water. Oh, no.
Laughter.
Oh, no.
Right. Even the fish were laughing.
But then when it stopped, he's just hanging there upside down.
Right. All right, let's go rescue him.
I thought, well, let's go help him. My brother's like, no.
He lives here now. Goodbye.
Let him get out himself. This is hysterical.
They say there's a skeleton in that rope.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is
the fun
why you
got
to keep an eye on your kids,
yep.
people. Yeah. History was almost made at Mohegan Sun Friday night, and it was Bellator 262. Friday morning, when was it? Was it Saturday, the fight?
Friday.
Denise Kielholtz is on, and she was taking on Velasquez, the world champion. I believe you won that fight.
Yeah, that's crazy because the craziest feeling is that you, on paper, you lost the fight, but how everyone's reacting after the fight, you know, that was just incredible, and that still made me believe the feeling that I won some hearts that night. So it's for me a little bit like. Now a roller coaster emotionally, because then I'm feeling like really like terrible. And then I'm feeling like happy because I get so much messages from so many people. Also here, I'm now in New York. And even here, people recognize me on the street and told me, hey, you won that fight. So it's just like an emotional roller coaster for me right now.
You're a gracious loser, and I don't even want to use the word loser when talking about you. The fight went the distance, and as you're waiting for the judges to announce their decision, are you thinking you're going to be the new world flyweight champion?
Well, honestly, at that moment, I was like, because I'm really critical about my own performance, and I want to do, like, the things that I had in my head. I want to do more. And I was a little bit, like, disappointed that the fight go this way because I thought she also come to fight, you know. So, but in my opinion, she only runs away. So it was after the fight I thought, okay, I really thought about this fight. I had more feelings. I thought it would be more crazy because I thought she comes to fight, I come to fight, so this is going to be like a lioness fight, you know. But after the fight, I have the feeling that all the rounds she just run away. So after the announcement came, I was still in my mind from shit, you know, why was she running away like that? I was not even thinking about the decision. So when the decision came, I was not even there in the moment, you know. The moment that I really lost was in the locker room after. So, yeah.
What happened in the locker room?
I think that I just left some tears.
Yeah,
I left some tears.
So Phil looked up something, and we'll play it in a second, but all the comments on there, everybody it's pretty unanimous.
You've made a lot of fans, for sure. Yep. Definitely.
I'm rooting for you.
But you won!
You did.
You know what the problem is? They don't want to take a belt away from a champion who's undefeated when it's, didn't knock her out.
Right.
Yeah.
But the whole fight, she was walking backwards.
She was the aggressor. Denise was the aggressor. The fans on this video that I found, all the comments seem to be that she definitely brought the fight to the champion. If a challenger's going to win, that's what you got to do. They definitely thought that you deserved to be crowned champion after that.
Yeah.
Oh, sad thing. Yeah, that's like, I have so many messages. Also, when I walk out the cage, there were like, people were just yelling, and also after the fight, people coming running to me and they support me like, you won. In my eyes, you won, you know. And so that's also, I really felt like the love from the audience and from everyone around there, and also people on the internet, you know, that I never felt that before, you know. So that's also the positive thing that
you're being nice. What you should be feeling right now is a belt around your waist, right. Big, heavy belt, Texas size belt buckle,
shiny.
I'd be thinking welt on my head.
Denise Kielholz is on Bellator MMA fighter, flyweight world championship was Friday night at Mohegan Sun, and the scoring was close, wasn't it? Like a point?
Yeah, it was. It was really 1 point. Yeah.
Is that the closest it's really ever been?
I think that she fought, I think that, like I said before, that she never fought a girl like me before, because this was really the first time that she fought going backwards. So, that this was with 1 point, that's really crazy.
It was like the end of Rocky. There ain't going to be no rematch. She said there's not going to be a rematch. Did that make you upset? Yeah. I know you're too nice to be upset, but... Right. What do you think about that she said she would not fight you again?
Yeah, that's, you know, like, I think that she really felt it also, you know, and I think that if you are like that is how you're really feeling. If you have, like,
you can't hide from people, though, right?
No,
does Bellator decide who fights?
No.
Can she say
Bellator
no?
Bellator decides. Yeah. So
they have a fight now that people really want to see.
Seriously?
If this is what they want to do to advance this franchise, this is the fight people want to see. We want the rematch.
All right, get in the car, go find her. Get in the car, go find her right now.
Yeah,
we'll just film it ourselves, do it independently.
Yeah.
Not going to do a boof right in the face.
You want that fight, right?
I definitely go for the rematch. But that's also how she feels right now. You know, if you are a champion and you fight like that, and I think that real champions say, hey, let's do it again. But, you know, directly the first response was, no rematch. Then you already know, you know. So
that's her saying, I lost this fight.
Right. That hurt.
Yeah.
Thank God for soft pills.
I'm not getting in the ring with her again. Right. That was horrible.
This one hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do you think
did you
Denise Kielholz is on. She fought, what is that? What are you doing?
You're backing up.
Are you punching an electronic bag right now?
No, in my hotel. I'm in a hotel in New York, and there is something on the street, on the hallway going on with some water or something. So that's why the
fire alarm
goes all the time.
It's a sprinkler. In America, we call them fire alarms and sprinkler systems. Right. You may want to leave.
Okay. I think I will leave now. Yeah. That will be a great show. That in the meantime, I have to run.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, thank you for coming on. You made a promise to us, win or lose, you'd come on today, and here you are.
Very great.
And we're rooting for you. And please,
thank you.
Keep us posted.
You got this,
Denise.
Yes.
Yeah. Get out of that building.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. I will.
All right. Thank you, Denise.
I will for sure. Now.
Yeah, run.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having me on the show, Ed.
Oh,
thank
absolutely.
You.
You're welcome.
Denise Kielholz. In a hotel with the fire alarm going off.
Right.
I like
and
her.
And yet still delightful.
That shows commitment. What's like a punch in the headlock?
She wasn't going to leave. Yeah. I had to ask, what's that sound?
Right. Oh, nothing. It's a fire alarm.
Yeah.
She's tough and she's hot.
there's something with water in the hallway.
Right.
Yeah, sprinkler system.
Right.
Those don't turn on unless there's a fire.
Right. There's a reason.
Yeah, somewhere on the bottom floor, Juliana Velasquez is seen with a cigarette lighter.
Right.
Get a lighter fluid.
Ain't gonna be no rematch.
There ain't gonna be no rematch.
I love one. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, people were disappointed with the outcome of that. It wasn't just Denise.
Furious.
Did you ever see that Popeye episode where Olive Oil was a boxer? Every time she got punched in the face, she had a different hairdo.
No, I missed that one.
I don't know what made me think of that.
These references are like, remember when Ben Franklin started the fire department?
Popeye is still beloved.
You have a 1970s TV just constantly running in the back of your head somewhere.
Yeah. I loved Popeye.
Yep.
I mean, loved it. But yep. I just don't know how many people would get that reference.
I'm sure a few folks just laughed out
loud. It's funny, you don't really need to have seen it to just picture someone getting punched and their hairstyle changing.
Just keeps on changing, right?
So what happened?
She was like in some kind of gym or something like that. And there was this girl who was a boxer. And I guess Olive Oil got under her skin and everything. So they end up having a match in the gym set up by Popeye and everything. And then,
Popeye
was like one of the trainers. And I think this girl was kind of like putting the moves on Popeye. Got under her skin.
Yeah.
So, you know, she gets to a fight with this girl. And every time the girl punched her, her hairstyle changed.
Because her hairstyle's normally like in a bun.
Right. I mean, it's like also like it became like a bunch of ponytails. Then it became this. And I'm just thinking of these fights. Imagine the hairstyle just changed every punch.
I thought it was hysterical. I turned around and I looked at Phil and Ashley. I'm like, oh, I guess we lost the room.
Looking to see if I can find this scene.
Oh, good.
Oh, this might be it.
Oh, boy, what a fight. Come on, Boyles, make it up. Get in.
God damn it. You know what we should have done as we were introducing her? I should have said we have a clip from the fight.
Next time, see me first. Oh, is there any obscure Popeye references?
Show prep. You knew we were going to have her. Play the scene from Olive Oil getting her face punched out.
I don't. I thought of it as we were talking to her.
Yeah, I get you.
Yep, there it goes. Braids. Yeah, every time the music changes, she's got a different hairstyle.
These people were geniuses.
They were.
Geniuses.
Geniuses.
What size shoe do you think Olive Oil wears?
97.
It looks like it.
Like a 14, like a shack. Like a shack.
She does not have small feet.
No.
Boat propellers. For wow.
So there's that.
Yeah, there's that.
Yes.
She could water ski without the skis.
But can you play that from the beginning? Because this is the kind of sound and color that plays in AJ's head.
Oh, boy, what a bite. Come on, Goyles, make it up. Get in there.
Goyles.
These are AJ's memories. Yes. Like, this is what pulls up when we're talking about a Bellator MMA 262 fight at Mohegan Sun.
Now I'm picturing different folks.
That's right. Beat. Hey,
man.
Hey.
Goyles.
Goyles. Oh, the Goyles are fighting. Say.
Picture every time I try flubble. take that, skis. And that. It's be peppies.
That's a whole cast of characters.
That cartoon was released in 1936.
Oh, my God, AJ.
They played in the 70s.
My parents were too, yeah. It was the Popeye hour.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Well, Popeye was a sailor man.
Yep.
Who he would eat the spinach, sometimes suck it through his corncob pipe.
Whatever way it took.
And became strong.
Right.
And it was always interesting the way he got, because he was in a dilemma, then he would somehow get the spinach.
A python would be squeezing him, and like he had the can of spinach
in his
shirt, and it would pop open.
The can would pop open.
And of course, it would always
spinach.
Pop straight up. He opens his mouth, and went, poof, right down his mouth, and then you hear, da 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 da, and all of a sudden, boom, He'd have like a bunch of strength.
Then all of a sudden his arms, sometimes his like fists would turn into anvils.
Right. Or sometimes like they show his bicep and all of a sudden it was like a Sherman tank going through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But there were various characters, right? So there was Olive Oil's girlfriend.
Right. Mm-hmm. That both Bluto and Olive. Bluto.
Bluto was a big dude with a beard. Like he reminded me of a biker who didn't wear, you know, biker type clothes.
Right. It's a
like
big,
a big
guy.
Burly guy you don't want to mess with.
Right.
And he always got Olive Oil's attention, and then so they're always, those two were always fighting. And then there was Wimpy. Pardon me, I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
He was a glutton.
Remember, he was a mooch.
Mostly ate hamburgers. Always had a tray of hamburgers, or sometimes
he's a mooch.
If they go through like a refrigerator,
he never paid.
If they go through a refrigerator, he'd see like a leg of like a ham or something like that, and he just put the ham in his mouth and pull out the bone.
I know people like that.
Or turkey dinner.
Can you play Wimpy?
Jay Wellington Wimpy.
Jay Wellington.
Oh, see, I didn't know his name was Jay Wellington.
That sounds like a good name for a restaurant.
I had
Jay
no
Wellington's.
Idea. Like a burger place.
Sounds fancy and expensive.
Nah, I wouldn't want Wellington's as a burger place.
Oh, why not?
Like a steakhouse.
Oh.
Jay Wellington's Steakhouse.
Well, they'll keep the theme going, you know?
Yeah.
And every Tuesday, get a free hamburger.
All right, here we go.
Popeye, old pal of mine. Now that you've mentioned it, I will have a hamburger on you.
I didn't mention anything, Wimpy.
Mention anything, Wimpy. It's me, Pappy's.
Yep.
Sounds like he's being strangled.
Right. We have no idea where Sweet Pea actually came from. It's like an
Sweet
illegitimate
Pea,
child.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, there was Sweet Pea.
Yeah, illegitimate child. That was
we think a worm with a baby's head on it.
And there was Poop Deck Pappy, who basically was Popeye's dad, who kind of reminds me of Danny Mac.
I forgot about that.
Yep.
We called Danny Mac.
Son. Yep. And Poop then Popeye had three nephews that looked exactly like him.
Do you know their names? There's actually four of them.
There's Pip-Eye, Poop-Eye, and Popeye, or something like that.
No, he's not wrong.
Poop-Eye?
Not wrong.
Is Poop-Eye a legit name?
Yeah.
Pip-Eye, Peep-Eye, Poop-Eye, and Popeye.
Right. Poop-Eye.
Yeah.
Poop-Eye.
I think you get an infection.
And they would talk. Like they would say a sentence, but each one would say a different word. But we don't want to take a nap. You know?
Wow.
Just I don't know who our next intern is going to be, but their name will be Poop-Eye.
Nice.
First, we're talking to an MMA fighter for a world championship.
Right, right.
That leads us to talking about Popeye and Olive Oil getting her face punched and her hairstyle changing every time she got punched in the face.
Yes.
From the brain of AJ.
Right.
Yeah. So then Shoeface, the intern, says there's a viral clip about Popeye.
Yeah. So it's from Canadian Family Feud. It's from, I think, over a year ago. And it is hysterical. So it's the two teams are tied. Somebody has to go
Ashley's
to Fast Money.
I'm freaking out.
Why are you losing it?
Why are you freaking out?
We played this in Dumbass News because I found it a year ago when it came out. We played it. Eric and I joke about it all the time because it is memorable. But we did this, and I did it first. So there.
And you're
that sounds like one hell of a team player.
You're telling us it's because
no, listen,
I did it first.
I'm proud of my contribution to the show. I found this clip. It was viral. We played it in Dumbass News. It was hilarious.
So go back to a year from today. Go back. Listen to it then because we're done now.
Yeah, we can't do it
now. You already did this, so you don't get it again.
We did this and I did it. You're missing the most important part. I did it.
Phil told me he had never heard this before.
I said to Phil,
just as a comment, not trying to get it on the air, like, hey, did you ever see that clip? It's pretty funny. He said no. So I sent it to him.
You're supposed to have the best memory of us all, Mr. Memory.
That's what I was told.
Fact checker,
so I figured
Phil.
He would know if it was ever on the air.
I don't remember.
I was a brand new employee, so proud of my achievement.
It's hysterical.
My contribution to the show.
Yeah, that wore off quick.
Everybody forgot about it, apparently.
That wore off quick, didn't it?
Where are you on this one? Why didn't you bring it back up?
It's a blonde girl in a tight dress, and she does a little dance when she answers.
So Ashley gave us this clip a year ago.
Right.
We did it, and we loved it.
And no one remembers it.
Right.
So we're going to play it again.
Right.
But thanks to Ashley for bringing this to
for
our
giving
attention.
Us another memorable clip.
This was set up better during the break, by the way, by the intern. There was way more information that leads to this moment. This is the end of the game. This answer, so you get 100 people are surveyed, 100 have answered this correctly. So if you get this question right, you're winning the game.
You're going to Fast Money.
That's it.
Wait, hold it. 100 people surveyed.
Right. And top. All 100 people answered this question the same way.
Oh, wow.
Except
whoa.
This girl.
So only one answer. Yes.
There's wow. only one answer. Only you one just answer. Have to get the
has
one answer.
Has that ever happened before?
I'm assuming, yes.
How do you get 100 people to say the same thing?
Because the question is this obvious.
Oh, this is great.
That's why it's in Dumbass News.
Like a question like, is it dark at night?
This girl is a dumbass.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't wait to hear this now. I'm so glad Ashley played this for us a year ago.
Thank you.
I don't even remember this.
Hey,
that's, that's how good it was. We chose to block
it out.
Are
you sure we did it on this show, or did you dream you
no,
gave it to
I
us?
Am absolutely positive because I was sitting in the monkey cage with AJ, and I sent it to you, and we played it in Dumbass News. It's like deja vu.
I remember nothing.
You don't remember this?
I don't remember this. I remember nothing.
Okay. Well, Shoeface is doing a better job at it.
Yes.
No, he's not.
Is that claiming victory?
He's absolutely not.
All right, let's hear the clip.
Yeah, please, finally.
All right. Real simple. There's one question. Only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken. Chicken.
Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
Spinach, Sherry.
Show me spinach!
What a moron.
She does a little dance chicken. When she says it, too. She goes, chicken!
Oh, my God.
I.
That is the dumbest person in the face of the earth.
Hey, Eric, what do you want for dinner?
Chicken!
Well, no one's going to say spinach.
I don't remember playing this clip. I do remember what we did after... Chicken. I found that song, Electric Boogie.
Electric Slide. Yep.
And there's a clip in it where it sounds like she says, chicken. that's
yep. That's you played, yep.
I remember we did that after this. I don't remember the clip.
Right. But I do remember
chicken.
Yep.
That chicken.
Well, Ashley did send us an email with this link. From January 12th of 2020.
Thank you.
I'm Casey.
A year and a half ago.
Chicken and people taking credit.
Chicken.
Chicken.
Oh, that's going to be stuck in my head all day. How old is that Family Feud clip?
At least a year and a half.
January 2020.
That's when I found it.
Is that when it was brand new?
Yeah.
Huh.
This was posted to Family Feud Canada, their YouTube page, January 10th of 2020.
You're welcome.
Chicken.
So we played it then, totally forgot we played it, and then just rediscovered it again. It was like falling in love for the first time all over again.
By the way, Ashley didn't even know what she had in the email.
That's
She's got
true.
Like 7 links, and it's like number 5.
No, it's not. You're making this worse.
Chicken.
Comedian Tim Dillon is on the phone. Good
Dillon.
Morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good
morning.
Morning.
Tim is from Long Island, AJ.
Hey, what part? Where are you?
Long Beach.
Nice.
Nowhere near where you were from.
No. The opposite. I'm in Port Jefferson, East Talkett, that area.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good. That's also an area with, I thought you were going to say like something rich, but that's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, Port Jeff kind of ran rich.
Port Jeff has a little bit.
Yes.
Has its sections.
Yeah, exactly.
Has its sections.
I was not
in
a section.
Yeah.
I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
I can hear it in your voice. You were not.
Yeah. There's no poor section in Port Jeff, but there are sections where it's like, whoa.
Yep.
You drive a regular car down the street and they say, oh, you're the landscaper.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm in the Hamptons right now and it's just, you know, the level of money here is silly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's fun. It's fun to see. It's fun to watch.
It really is. I always wonder, like, how do you get there? Now, what are you doing out there? Did your Bitcoin investment work out, or?
I'm doing home invasions.
But, oh, good.
Nice.
No, I come out here to eat seafood. You know, I come to eat clams and shit. I mean, you know, I don't really have Yeah, I don't have any real estate holdings, but I just come here to like have lobster bisque and stare at people and make them uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, you're not performing in the Hamptons, right? Are you on vacation?
No, I was in New York City. I was doing shows there, and then I've got shows in Boston coming up, and then Foxwoods and Connecticut. So this is my little stopgap between them. So I just come out here.
Right.
Yeah. So Foxwoods. Happening this Saturday, 8 o'clock. Still a few tickets left, but going fast. So if you want to see a very funny person who, by the way, makes every list of people you should know, comedians you should see, up and coming. So whatever the list is, he's on it and high up there on the list, too.
Tax evasion. I'm
tax
on
evasion.
Every
most wanted. Yep.
Right.
Right.
I'm on everything.
I never know what to believe when I read these bios and look up people, but it says in one place I looked up that you did coke when you were 12.
Yeah, I think the first line of cocaine I did, I was 12 or 13. The summer going into junior high, so it's probably 12.
How does that happen?
Junior very high, apparently.
You know, here's the two words. Here's how it happens. Good parenting.
Yeah, right, that's true.
Right, because they went and bought it for you. Right.
Let's just get this
involved,
out of your system right now.
Just involves parenting. No, it's you know, having bad friends.
Yeah, but you paid attention in class, didn't you?
I paid attention in class, and I got it out of my system early, and that's also good. I think it's never advisable to do that at 12, but it's not great to start making mistakes at 19 either.
You answer every question for the lesson. Because somebody else answered it, he raised his hand.
You're still a juvenile until you're 18. So, at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, it's maybe not the worst thing to make your mistakes young.
Did you keep doing it, or did you do it once at 12 and then dabbled?
No, I didn't keep doing it at 12, but I found it later on. I remembered it. I said, oh, that was fun. It was a wild, my teens were wild.
Do you remember what you did? Tim Dillon's on the phone at Foxwoods Theater Saturday, did coke when he was 12. Do you remember what you did right after
coke out of the show too? So if you like coke,
right.
We'll give him coke out of the show.
He's throwing bags out into the audience.
Right. You all get a little package to take home with you.
You get some coke.
Yeah, it's going to be like an Oprah thing at the end. Everybody gets coke.
Right, do some coke and hit the slot machine.
Like, what do you do when you're 12?
The pandemic's over. Here's coke.
You're 12 years old. You do coke. Do you get on a bicycle and, like, ride around the state?
He did somebody else's paper route.
No, I mean, you know, I started selling subprime mortgages right afterwards.
That's good, though. Good investments.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
And your mother had issues. Is that what you mean by good parenting?
Yes, because she was a schizophrenic, and my dad was in a band. So I was set up for success.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
It was a real Long Island story, you know, a crazy mother and a dad who would, you know, play guitar in the house. So, I mean, right then and there, it's, you know.
That's coke at 12.
Would I know your dad's band by any chance?
I don't think so. I mean, if you knew his band, you'd be on coke.
Well,
or in jail.
Well,
I don't really think, you know, but I'm writing a book about them, about boomer parenting, so I can injure them before they die. So, you know,
yeah.
One last shot.
Yeah. Like,
one
last
shot.
Yeah, I get it. Schizophrenia. What is that? Two different. Is that multiple?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but it ain't great.
What was it like for you? Like, was it multiple personalities? Was she talking to herself?
No, it's not multiple personality. They're paranoid. So she's very paranoid, you know, but, you know, it's kind of weird because actually all the things we're, like, finding out about Jeffrey Epstein and all these things, like, unfortunately, I think she was right. You know, I don't even know if we should actually let her out now. You know, we have her in a mental institution. Oh. But
is she really?
Learning the things that we've learned, I think, you know, I think it was actually, she was just ahead of her time.
She opened the door and say, sorry, Ma.
That would be something if, like, all of this, she's locked up and we find out she was right the whole time about everything.
Okay, yeah, awkward. I got it. You know what? You were, the FBI was looking into you. We apologize.
Awkward. Sorry. Imagine our embarrassment. Let's go to Applebee's.
Sorry, Ma. Yeah. I thought you were crazy.
Yeah, we can go to Applebee's and get some chicken.
Chicken. It's like that Big Fish movie. At the end, you're like, oh, my God, you were telling the truth the whole freaking time.
Whoops.
Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, no.
Tim Dillon's on. He's coming to Foxwoods on Saturday. You also played Santa Claus in Harlem. That had to be a tough gig. You've had a lot of interesting
jobs. I've had a lot of horrible experiences. Well, that was when they were we were selling Obamacare. People had to sign up for Obamacare, and they thought it would be better if Santa went and got people signed up for Obamacare. So put Santa Claus in bad. This is true. They put Santa Clauses in like bad neighborhoods.
Right. Only a kid who did coke at 12 would think this is a good idea. Yeah, but I'll take this job.
This sounds stable. Like,
it was really a bad job, and I had a lot of bad jobs because the kids would get so excited when they saw Santa, but there was no present, so they would just come up and you'd hand them paperwork, you know?
Right. This Santa actually took flat screen TVs.
Yeah, I picture you getting your ass kicked.
Right.
They'd be like, Santa, what am I going to get? And I'm like, well, a low copay, but,
right. We'll get health care. You know?
Yeah, I'm like, this is all you're going to get. But I'm like, you got to fill all of this out. And, you know, you don't have to use a fake name at the hospital anymore. And many of them cried. So
they were so happy.
It was a tough job.
Tears of joy.
They were so happy.
You're doing the work of the community, though. Trying to help.
Well, they call it community service, but yeah.
Oh, man. I'm picturing you just being heckled, beard pulled.
Tagged.
Punched.
It's got graffiti on the back.
Yeah, there was no physical violence, thank God. I mean, I quit. The guy who got me the job was a clown. And he got me the job. This is true. And I quit, and I was, like, kind of fired because they said I wasn't being jolly enough. This is a fact. They were like, you're not being jolly enough. I was very angry that I had the job, of course. And they said, like, I was, like, kind of mad at my life, and I was mad at all of it. And he said you weren't being jolly, and the kids were complaining, and everyone's complaining. And I'm like, well, the hell with this, man. And, you know, it was just a low point in my life. And, you know, I'm going to probably do it again next year, but I want to do it.
You don't want Santa smoked in a drive-by.
Now it's for the bits.
Right.
Yeah.
But there are adults walking around now like, yeah, I met Santa when I was a kid, and he was trying to give me paperwork to fill out.
Right.
Like, I don't get it.
I had great health care, though, afterwards.
Yeah, health care, the best present.
I don't understand that.
Right. Thank you, Santa.
Tim Dillon's on the phone. He's out in the Hamptons living the real life now.
Yes.
But once he was in Harlem playing Santa Claus.
He's been everywhere, basically, yes.
And I'm just here to see. I want to see a shark, you know, eat someone of means. That's my goal. Not death, but just get a leg or something.
All right, so chum on the water.
Wait, you want to see a shark eat... Just take a bite out of someone.
Someone's leg off, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to see a little blood in the water, a little fun, nothing crazy, but just a little skirmish, a little chaos on the beach.
It's a Monday.
A few women in white linen screaming, people running into a Porsche, bleeding. Fun. Something fun for the summer.
Just don't there's a movie you can rent.
Don't have a dog named Pippin.
It's called Jaws.
Yes.
I know, but that's not the same. You want it live.
You want to smell the iron in the air from the blood.
The copper, yes.
It's the one thing you can't buy. You can't buy off a shark,
This is true.
So Tim goes to the Hamptons. He sees rich people. And he says, I want to see one of these people get bit by a shark. Now, I don't want to see them die, but I want to see them scream and bleed out.
Just like lose a calf.
I just want to see a leg because it really is a beautiful thing when nature bites back. It's the one thing you can't buy. You can't bribe a shark. You can't pay them off. It's just nice to see something chaotic. Again, no death, but just a little a limb.
As we eat clams and lobster bisque.
Right.
Yes, and I would silently slurp the lobster bisque, just kind of just, and I'd even look concerned. Like, I'd be concerned and upset, and I'd go, ooh, that's not good. I'd shake my head. But it would be, you know, it would be lovely to witness.
Right.
That poor person.
But this lobster bisque is delicious.
That's all that matters.
This is the best lobster bisque.
That's
I've
not
ever
good,
had.
But this is awesome. But
poor person.
Right.
Wow.
See, I'm lunch for a shark, basically. Yes. What do you have? That guy's leg. Okay, I'll have lobster bisque.
And then, Phil, what was the Bitcoin thing you told me about with Tim?
He was like early on this where it, like people were talking about it on Twitter and they're like, what are you talking about, Tim? And it got to the point where he was like being invited to these conferences about cryptocurrency because he was in so early, educated himself to such a degree that they're like, he's not just an investor. He's an expert at this point. You should listen to the advice that he's giving you.
Oh, you can explain it.
Wow. You translate
well. Yeah, I mean, I knew it was a fun scam early on. And I could see all of the markings of a real fun scam. And unfortunately, I didn't get into it financially as early as I should have, but I knew that it had all the markings of a real, chaotic social movement based on not that much. Some people are true believers in it. That's great. But I did go to the conference. Everybody was kind of on Adderall and just chewing their tongue and screaming that you can't kill an idea. And you can. Spoiler alert, you can.
Yes, you can.
It's actually no one stopped them to tell them that. And we don't know what'll happen with it. But it was a very cult-like atmosphere in Miami at the Bitcoin conference. And, this thing's lost over half its value. And who knows? Maybe it goes up again. I have one Bitcoin.
If you look at the 5-year, it still looks great. I mean, when did you buy it? How much was it?
Oh, I mean, I got it earlier. But, when you look at the 5-year, it looks great. But nobody's in this, I think, as a sound investment strategy, right. Like, people got on the train because they thought it was like, it's like a cocaine dealer sitting down and going, listen, the 5-year is really good. It's like, hey, man, we're trying to flip this now. We'll see what happens. I mean, long term, it might be really good to own one.
You know what this is like, this Bitcoin thing? This has been like being a kid in Harlem and going to Santa Claus. And you think you're going to get a toy, but they hand you paperwork for Obamacare.
that's actually exactly what it's like. Yeah.
A huge disappointment, yes.
I want to buy it, but I'm going to wait until it goes down.
There's so many. Like, every day there's a new one now.
Yeah, I know. And I know Tim's right that this is just a big scam. People have figured out, here's a way to get suckers' money. But, man, if one hit,
Yep. So.
Anything to not work.
Yes. That's it.
I mean, really, it's really what it is.
That's my motto. Right.
And I don't want to wait 20 years. That's I want to get rich like next week.
I want to leave
anything
now.
Anything to not put any elbow grease into an actual job.
Minimal effort, maximum value.
Amen.
That's what it is. Yeah, 100%.
Amen, brother.
We got to go to break here. Tim Dillon at Foxwoods Premier Theater this Saturday, 8 o'clock show. We're linked up to tickets. There's a few left going fast. This guy is brilliant. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, brother.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.